You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I worry about the country having an illegitimate president. That's what I worry about. A president that lost and lost badly. This wasn't like a close election. What happened to this country is that we were like a third world country. And I do worry about the fact, you know, you asked a question, illegitimate president. That's what I worry about.
Those are the words of President Trump the other day, just ahead of the Army-Navy game. And rats, Navy lost. This December 14, 2020. President Trump, again insisting, if Biden is installed as president, is an illegal, illegitimate president. A significant portion of Americans support him in that belief. A Rasmussen report released last week, conducted December 3rd through the 6th, among 1,000 likely voters, was pretty well split. 47% were sure, one way or the other, very or somewhat likely, votes were stolen or destroyed to damage Donald Trump. 49% disagree. So it's still very close. And there are numerous reports that one in six who voted for Biden, if they had known about the Hunter Biden story and the laptop story, they might not have voted for Joe Biden. And another survey indicating maybe up to 20 million or more Biden supporters said they never heard any story about the Hunter Biden thing. They didn't know anything about it because they were relying on mainstream media and they were not going to get the story there. Well, all of this aside, now the states are beginning to move forward to certify their vote count and send it on to the Electoral College. It was late Friday that the Supreme Court decided to not hear the case, basically putting it aside without discussing merits, just indicating there was no reason to hear the case. Now the Hunter Biden investigation is going to take on a very new and rapid approach in the eyes of the mainstream media. I raised this issue for the other day, that the mainstream media, which had been so intent on keeping that story, the Hunter laptop story, and any connections to China buried, or to mock it, call it sensational and just a Russian propaganda tool, now seems to be very interested in going after Hunter Biden. Why? Why? Well, because if Joe Biden is going to be sworn in as president, Vice President Kamala Harris will be there just in case suddenly they have enough evidence that they're tying Hunter Biden's past to Joe Biden for Kamala and the others to go to Joe and say, step aside, you're compromised, I will now be president. And in fact, I've got a little bit later in this hour, Christopher Bedford, a writer for the senior editor, I should say, with the Federalist and a contributor, that Joe Biden is pretty much giving the GOP a very big tool to use in its investigation. They could damage Hunter and, in effect, Joe Biden. You want to hear what Christopher Bedford has to say. And in the meantime, Congress says it should have been informed that Hunter Biden was being investigated over his taxes before they even considered whether to impeach Donald Trump. That's Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. And now word is coming out, apparently a new email that might be connected to the laptop. It's not sure yet, but this is from Fox News. Hunter did not report $400,000 in income. he collected on the border Ukraine natural gas firm. Hunter admitted the other day he's under investigation for possible tax issues. A former FBI assistant director says, I think this is bigger than this. I think it's going to be looking at not just tax issues, but money laundering. How are we going to make sure future elections are legit? We'll get into that. And Mayor Bill de Blasio warning they may have a full shutdown at a city. A full shutdown. Even as they begin to use a vaccine. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No, it's not over. We keep going, and we're going to continue to go forward. We have numerous local cases where, you know, in some of the states that got rigged and robbed from us. We won every one of them. We won Pennsylvania. We won Michigan. We won Georgia by a lot. But we caught them, as you know, as fraudulent, dropping ballots, doing so many things nobody can even believe it. Dead people voting, and all far greater than the number of votes we need. The election was over at 10 o'clock in the evening. I had won. It was 97-98%. All of the bookies all over the world were saying the election's over. They wouldn't even take bets on it. And then all of a sudden, around 11 o'clock, ballots start getting dropped. You ever see the graph where you go like this, and then it goes up to the sky? Tens of thousands of ballots were being illegally dropped. The machines are the worst. Dominion. Nobody even knows who owns it. These machines are controlling our country. So it was a rigged election. It was really a sham and a shame.
Those are the words, again, of President Trump over the weekend. He did an interview with Fox News just before the Army-Navy game. And this is, of course, after the Supreme Court on Friday made its decision on the challenge. It went right to the Supreme Court. The Constitution allows states that have a difference with another state to bring their arguments right to the Supreme Court. Don't have to go through early court hearings. So they're in front of the Supreme Court, a case brought by Texas, 15-plus other states joining on, including the state of Missouri, saying there's a legal reason to challenge this election. Partly on based on what you heard President Trump saying about how numbers were coming in, were they properly handled, voter verification, everything else. But this really got down to just a constitutional issue. Did the states of Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania violate the federal constitution by changing election laws, not through their legislative session, which is called for, but by either fiat of some Democrat or a state Supreme Court. In other words, not following what's set down in the Constitution. I truly thought it's a legitimate case for the court to at least hear. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. The ruling came down late Friday after we'd already signed off today this program. And I had to admit, I was thinking that why wouldn't they at least hear the case? Simple as that. And there are reports that two of the Supreme Court justices, two, were willing to consider it, at least based on if you're looking at general concept of cases where states can sue direct against other states. That was Thomas and Alito, but it was not based specifically on the Texas case. It was some of their prior beliefs. But in this case, they did not take the case. In fact, they said Texas didn't have standing. Alan Dershowitz, famed attorney, expert in constitutional law, doing an interview with WABC Radio, is asked about what does this mean as we look at the Supreme Court issue this kind of ruling?
Well, I think this sends a very, very unambiguous message. The three justices that President Trump appointed, his three justices, voted not to hear the case. I think it's a message to him and his team that you can't count on the judiciary. You can't count on the courts. The courts are not going to get involved. The clock is ticking. It's too close. It's a little too messy. That the only recourse now is to the state legislatures. You know, I said from the beginning, if he's going to turn this around, he needs a perfect storm, of the courts, the legislatures. He needs the governors, the secretaries of state. He needs the evidence, the numbers, and the clock. And the clock's running out. The courts have now said they're not going to help him. So the only recourse he has is to the state legislatures, and that's very, very unlikely.
Very unlikely. And at this moment, we're beginning to see states move forward with certification. What he's talking about is state legislatures decide, you know, and several of those, well, let me put it this way, the four states that are in contest, then the Texas suit, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, they were counting on that perhaps the state legislatures would get involved and say, we're going to decide the electoral vote should go to Trump instead of Biden because we think this was mishandled. Well, that's not happening. And in fact, today, this morning, the last suit that was pending before a court as of this morning was in front of Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court today rejecting Donald Trump's lawsuit as he tried to overturn his loss to Joe Biden in that state. They did so just about an hour before the Electoral College was to meet to cast the state's 10 votes for Biden. Now, this court did hold arguments in the case Saturday. The same day, a federal judge had dismissed another Trump lawsuit seeking to overturn his loss in Wisconsin. Trump had appealed that ruling, so arguments were heard in the case Saturday. In a 4-3 ruling, as the president tried to have 220,000 ballots disqualified in two of the state's most heavily Democrat counties, in a 4-3 ruling, the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected it. And in fact, one justice, I should say the justice, a conservative writing for the majority, said the Trump campaign was, quote, not entitled to the relief it seeks. And he added, our laws allow the challenge flag to be thrown regarding various aspects of election administration. The challenges raised by the campaign in this case, however, and I told you they were going to do, I told you from the beginning, watch this, that it was going to come down like this. And he actually made the words for me. He stated in his opinion, the challenges raised by the campaign in this case, however, come long after the last play or even the last game. The campaign is challenging the rule book adopted before the season began. And he's saying they waited too long to raise the complaints. I told you they were going to do that. They're going to say you don't have enough time, you waited too late. Well, you couldn't raise the complaint unless there was evidence of something that you didn't like. Was there a misstep by Republicans in Wisconsin not making sure that how Wisconsin was going to conduct the election before we got the election date? That's what some are suggesting. But it's almost tantamount. It's almost tantamount to saying, that guy over there I see on the corner, he's going to commit a crime. Need to go arrest him. Well, I can't go arrest him. He hasn't done anything. But I know he's going to commit a crime. Well, I can't arrest him on your speculation he's going to. A crime has to be committed. And, of course, depending upon the crime, there's a statute of limitations as to when he can be charged anyway. But again, Trump says, I had the numbers.
I'm president of the United States. I just got 75 million votes. The biggest number of votes in the history of our country ever gotten by a sitting president. I went from 63 million to 75 million, a 12 million vote difference. That's the biggest margin in history. They say if I got 67, the smartest people in the business, if I got 67 million votes, I couldn't lose. I got 75 million, and they say I lost. I didn't lose. The election was rigged. I worry about the country having an illegitimate president. That's what I worry about. A president that lost, and lost badly. This wasn't like a close election.
That is, again, President Trump's opinion. I know many of you side with it, support it, echo it, repeat it. And some might challenge, even inside the Trump supporters. But, of course, now we're on this fast train. The destination's ahead. The states are beginning to certify those votes today. And we're moving closer to Joe Biden's inauguration. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Republican, Louisiana, said, we just need to let the legal process play out. If you want to restore trust by millions of people who are still very frustrated and angry about what happened, that's why you have to have this whole system play out. There will be a president sworn in on January 20, but let's let the legal process play itself out. Well, some would say it's played itself out. Done. Close the door. It's over. Continue your complaining if you want, but it's done. Question for Alan Dershowitz. From that interview with WABC, was there fraud?
We need to know what the truth is. I don't know how many votes. There was certainly some fraud. There was certainly some mistakes. There was certainly some problems. But the numbers are just unclear. We don't know. We don't know whether it was retail or wholesale. We know there were retail problems, dead people voting, ballots, hundreds, maybe thousands, not counted. But we don't know whether they're hundreds of thousands or millions. And that's what you need to know from a voter integrity panel. So I'm hoping for the future we can set something like that up and avoid these kinds of, you know, fights. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? And most of us out there don't know.
Now, he's talking about a voter integrity panel, and we're going to get into that more in the second hour, composed of unbiased and folks that are willing to be fully ethical. And if it's something against a candidate that they might prefer, they're still going to stand on the basis of the law and everything else, and that these issues can be brought before this panel in advance of an election, during the election, after the election. I don't know. I mean, Alan Dershowitz is an extremely smart man. I don't think that VIP panel would work like that, work effectively, but it's his idea, and it's worth considering simply because of his stature. As I said, we'll spend some more time on it a little bit later. But right now the question is, are we going to have legal elections? And we have one right in front of us right now that is so critical. Georgia. The early voting for the Georgia Senate runoff election started today. I've been telling you repeatedly, a lot of outside money and effort is going into Georgia. One of the outside groups rushing in, Keep America Action Fund. That one supported President Trump in the presidential election. It's got a bus tour through Georgia supporting the Republicans. 23 stops in 6 days, 48 billboards. Then we got Next Gen America, progressive group founded by billionaire Democrat booster Tom Steyer. We got a rush of outside folks running into the Peach State trying to get certified to register prior to today. The question, is that going to be a legitimate election? And in fact, the question for Dershowitz, will we have future legitimate elections?
Something called VIP, Voter Integrity Panel, consisting of retired justices of the Supreme Court, presidents of universities, you know, rabbis, priests, you name it, people who have the highest integrity and no partisanship, like the 9/11 Commission. And they would be available to hear any complaint about an election before the election, during the election, and after the election. Because right now, we can't trust the media. It's so partisan.
So that's exactly his explanation of the VIP. I said we'd have it in the next hour, but I thought let's get it out now while we're talking about it. Coming up before we wrap up, Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist, how Biden is giving a big tool to the GOP to investigate Hunter Biden. And also, retired Lieutenant Colonel West, is he talking about breaking the nation apart? You want to hear this coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When you talk about what is happening here, we need to have states that honor our Constitution. And I know a lot of people are throwing out this secession word. I've never said anything about secession. I talked about law-abiding states. I talked about them forming a union, an alliance, because they're the ones that are abiding by our rule of law. If anyone is out there seceding from the United States of America, it's the states that are violating our rule of law.
Those are the words of Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, the Texas GOP chairman. The other day, as he began to watch these proceedings build and after the Supreme Court ruling, he started talking about maybe we need to have a union of law-abiding states. Well, some were quickly saying, you're talking about seceding? You want to take all the red states and just pull out of the union? Is that what you have in mind? That is not what he said. He said, I never use that word. He said, I'm talking about the fact we need to have a union of law-abiding states that will stand together to make sure votes are protected. He points out, and that was the whole basis of the Texas case, that if votes were fraudulently cast or legitimate votes thrown out, in some of the states, such as battleground states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, if they threw them out, well, then if you voted for Trump here, and maybe there's some folks in Wisconsin, somebody that would have voted for Trump there, but their vote never got counted, then your vote got disenfranchised. That's the argument. There are those who say, well, we really don't want states telling other states how to do their business. But if it falls under the universal good for the nation, such as a federal election, I think there's reason to make an argument, at least hear the arguments. But again, the Supreme Court the other day dismissed it, made no ruling on the merits, just put it aside. We're going to talk about that again also more in the next hour, and I want you to hear how Chris Wallace of Fox News tries to describe who gets cheated when votes are thrown out. Who really gets cheated? In the meantime, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat, California, said of the 126 House Republicans who signed on to that brief for the Texas case, she said they were gutless. Those members of Congress, she said, who joined in this ridiculous lawsuit were gutless. That is, again, Congresswoman Waters. And she says, for some of these folks, our members, talking about the Democrats, are advocating we don't seat them back in Congress. She said, I suspect that won't happen. The attitude, we've got to keep moving. We've got to move forward. And she's talking about some of the races that Democrats lost and Republicans won in the House. But she says this was done by 126 members of Congress who don't have any guts, signing on to the Texas lawsuit, even though they knew that Biden absolutely won. So says Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Hey, take note of this. Special Counsel John Durham expanding his team and reportedly making excellent progress on investigating the origins of the Trump-Russian probe. That's interesting. We'll see where it leads. And then also, how Biden is going to give the GOP a tool to use to carry out an investigation. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I do want to point out to you that while Democrat electors in Pennsylvania and Georgia cast their state's electoral votes for Joe Biden today, slates of Republican electors in those same states, of course, casting votes for President Trump, just in case any legal claims will succeed somewhere along the way before the date of inauguration, or maybe after. I mentioned the other day that the mainstream media, which had not been interested at all in covering the Hunter laptop and any connections he had to China while Daddy was running for president and serving as VP when Hunter Biden was doing all of his activities, mainstream media just ignored it, shut it down on social platforms, mocked it, made fun of it, said it's outrageous, it's Russian propaganda. But I also point out that now, if Biden is elected, the mainstream media will take a higher interest because if they can now throw enough dirt on Hunter Biden and it splashes back on Joe, then Kamala and other progressives can go into Joe and say, you're compromised, you're out, I'm in. Well, I want to take up that subject with a guest we have. We've had him on before, Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist. And he wrote a great piece about Biden is poised to hand Republicans an incredible tool to investigate the Hunter corruption scandal. Christopher, welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, that title right there said that Biden is poised to give Republicans a tool to investigate Hunter corruption scandal. And I would think the mainstream media would be interested in this as well. Your turn, sir.
The mainstream media didn't only attack and dismiss these claims without any evidence, by the way, as Russian propaganda and Russian disinformation. But we were censored. Americans were censored. The third biggest newspaper in the country, the New York Post, was censored by big tech, which promised to provide a fact check to dismiss all this story. And it turned out they never did. It's completely unreal, the level of censorship that we've had. But to your point, now that it's actually there are lawsuits out there and this has been exposed. There's an increasing amount of interest. Also, now that Joe Biden's been safely elected, there's an increasing amount of interest. What's going to be very interesting is, as Joe Biden works to basically rebuild the Barack Obama administration and his administration, he's going to have to bring forward a lot of veterans who would have been in the position to know about Hunter Biden's activities potentially. during the last administration, and they're going to have to go before the Senate.
Uh-huh.
So the Republicans do hold on.
Excuse me. Boy, that raised a flag. Yeah, they've got to go before the Senate, and there will be questions. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, exactly. So there are a huge number of people, whether it's Dennis McDonough, who's up. He was the former chief of staff and the deputy national security advisor for President Barack Obama. Now he's up for Veterans Affairs, potentially. The former deputy national security counselor and the deputy secretary of state, Anthony Blinken, he's up for state. You've got a whole number of people, basically almost everyone except for Susan Wright, who they're terrified to put in front of the U.S. Senate right now because of all her unmasking questions.
Right. So when this is the tool you're talking about, that by nominating these guys who were there during the Obama-Biden years, and all of them were hearing the word about Hunter's doing this is not good, and even the word was going around that it's, you know, it's not good. They try this, but there's a little concern. Now they're going to be put on the spot. What did you know? When did you know it? What did you do about it? How many knew, and what happens next?
And there's also April Haynes, who's up for the director of national intelligence. She was deputy director over at the CIA. There's potentially Rahm Emanuel, although I don't know, going up for transportation. There's Alejandro Mayorkas going for Department of Homeland Security, who is an expert in government corruption for Democratic politicians in the past. Not only will they be able to ask some questions, but whoever the attorney general is, regardless of whether it's an administration, former administration official or Andrew Cuomo or someone else, the Republicans have a right to ask that this attorney general recuse themselves, not only recuse themselves, but say that their deputies won't go after it, because it's very difficult to get a fair investigation of a Democratic attorney general of a Democratic president's son. So the Democrats wrote the playbook for this with the Russian campaign and that whole hoax. When you have to appoint a special counsel and push for that before anyone's confirmed.
Well, let's go through that quickly, and then I want to come back to your article. Many are saying that Trump should appoint a special counsel now, put it in place, and of course, when Biden comes in, he could dismantle it. But we know what kind of flack that should cause. Although the mainstream media, I don't know if it will. But that's a first step you think should be done now before Trump leaves office?
I think it's worth doing it now and trying to make it as difficult as possible for the incoming administration to dismantle it. Of course, they could, but they won't be able. If Republicans hold on to the Senate, which is totally up in play right now in Georgia, if they're able to hold on to the Senate, then they can push as a requirement for confirming any attorney general that a special counsel is approved.
And to that point, we'd mentioned Georgia, and this audience should be certainly aware of the voting starting today, the early voting, and how the Senate is split now, 50 Republicans, 48 Democrats, 50 Republicans at least in name, Romney, a couple others kind of washing around in the wind from time to time. But if the Democrats win those two seats in Georgia and the same appointees come up, they can be questioned by the Republican senators. But when the vote comes, if it's a tie, here comes Kamala to break it.
Exactly. If Republicans don't, Republicans simply need to win one of the seats in order to at least be able to hold the line. But to your point, exactly, you've got people like Mitt Romney going around who are not reliable Republicans in the Mitch McConnell column. They're not, certainly not in the Donald Trump column, who might be more difficult. But if you have two Republicans there's a tiny bit more flexibility. However, exactly, if they're Democrats, Republicans can ask all the questions they want. The news media can choose to ignore it or run it, and they'll probably choose to ignore it. And there will be no way to actually hold people accountable. We'll be in for what Joe Biden promised Bernie Sanders is going to be the most progressive agenda since FDR a century ago.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist, and I want to read some of his closing lines from this article about how Biden, in naming all of these candidates to fill his cabinet, basically retreads from the Obama administration, who were there, who knew what Hunter Biden was doing. As you point out, Joe Biden's son rode his father's White House plane to China to make millions, allegedly peddling influence to powerful members of the Chinese Party, Communist Party. Far from a game, potentially serious ramifications, serious investigation is needed. Good news for Republicans, the script has already been written for them.
Exactly. The Democrats wrote this entire script over the last 4 years for Donald Trump. Republicans don't need to come up with any special tricks. A few of them are pretty good at it. Most of them are not. They can just follow exactly what the Democrats did to President Donald Trump and his family.
I really like this because the very fact that he's going back to the same folks who have a connection to Biden and Hunter, a knowledge with him, because I remember one of the emails, I believe, was sent to by Hunter to Blinken, I think, at one point, asking, can I have a meeting with you? And sure, your son of the vice president calls me, I'll arrange a meeting for you.
Hunter was embedded like a tick in all these things. He wasn't just making phone calls to countries that his father had deals in. He was traveling on the vice president's official plane, going to China. Joe Biden claiming that they never talked about business is deeply, deeply skeptical. If I had a son or a friend or a neighbor who was taking a ride on my vice presidential airplane to China, I would at least be asking, so why are you going to China? What is your business here? And who are you meeting with? This is a country that's an adversary of ours. Joe Biden says he never had those conversations. And I find it very doubtful. And I also find it doubtful that the former deputy of the CIA, for example, is up for confirmation in this next administration, that the CIA wouldn't be aware of the vice president's ne'er-do-well son meeting with members of the Communist Party in China.
And also, there's a former FBI deputy director who's saying, you know, there are things we're seeing that are indicating the tax issues that Biden says he's under investigated for Hunter, that it's really going to involve more like money laundering. That's an entirely different thing. Now, another article that Chris had put out, we were talking the last week that the Times is getting renamed the Person of the Year. Donald Trump was one of those in the mentioning, along with the heroes in this war, you know, fighting their front line as long as, you know, against COVID. And also we had, you know, Biden and Harris. And ta-da, they ended up selecting Biden and Harris. No surprise for you, right?
It's not surprising because Time Magazine has long ago given up trying to choose people who are really making an impact or that might make readers uncomfortable and instead choosing to pick people who just make them feel good. I guess I remember a time in history where you had to leave your basement in order to become the Time Person of the Year. That seems to have gone away. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's greatest strength on the campaign trail was that a lot of people in America didn't like the president. So not being someone else should not be what makes you Person of the Year.
I agree.
There are so many more who impacted this world more greatly than they did.
I agree. Christopher Bedford from The Federalist, again, we thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. And another point, you know, reference Time Magazine on making this decision. Look at all that Trump did for the Middle East, Morocco the other day signing on to that deal. Now four Middle East nations. That would be worthy of a Nobel Prize. I don't care who did it, even if Obama done it. Obama got one 6 months in office for that when his question was, what did I do? Answer, nothing. Stick around for the second hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah, Quentin said, are we not going to do the rest of this hour? Yes, we are. I just was anxious to get to the next hour, too. But I got some good material here. In fact, I wanted to tell you this. One of these stories coming up in this segment. I can't make this stuff up. I really can't. I could come up with fictional stories and big Texas lies, but one of these stories you're going to hear in a moment, I could not even begin to make this up. I just sit back and let all the Democrats and progressives do it for me and just relay it, and I look like I'm really intelligent. And let's begin first with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. As I mentioned in the opening monologue for this hour, the city could be facing a full shutdown all through the city, shut everything down. They've already shut down indoor dining as of today. They had allowed it to reopen back on September 30th after months of being shut down, but 25% capacity. And of course, we have the vaccine coming out. The first vaccine has been given in New York City to Sarah Lindsay, an RN, a critical care nurse at Long Island Jewish Medical Center, first to get the shot. Now, I assume she volunteered, which raises another question. If your company demands that you get the vaccine, what do you do then? Can they force you to take the vaccine? Will we need everybody to take it? Well, the Operation Warp Speed scientific head, Dr. Salui, I should say, on Mornings with Maria today said at least 75% of Americans need to be injected for the pandemic to be under control, 75%. Now, many folks I've heard already that, you know, I might take it. I'll talk to my doctor. Or then again, I'm in good health, been doing fine. I don't think I need to worry about it. I'm not going to. Well, first of all, a lot of folks are not going to have the opportunity to make the choice because they're going to get it first to the most needed, most vulnerable areas, as they should. Those in nursing homes and those caring for them and those on the front line in our hospitals, make sure they are protected. If they want it, again, some of them may say, I don't want it, but we'll see how that shapes up. But as of yesterday morning, shipping companies, UPS, FedEx, are delivering Pfizer's vaccine to 150 locations. Another 450 expected to get it tomorrow or the next day. And, of course, a lot of businesses have been suffering. Dateline Washington State, there's a gym, a fitness gym, that has defied the Washington governor's start order, safe start order, hit with 8 violations already, 1 violation each day they defied it, accumulating fines approaching $80,000. And they're saying, we're not going to pay it. We're not going to do it. The owner says, I'm operating it. I'm going to keep it open. Now, the other day, we were talking about, is it time for mass civil disobedience where businesses say, I'm going to open up. If folks want to come in, I'll be open for you. And I'm going to have people here ready to, they want to work and they want to get money. And I need money for my business and we're going to do it anyway. Do they want to round all of us up and lock all of us up? They don't seem to grab anybody out of these violent protests in the streets when they're looting and everything else. They don't do anything about them. Why not a massive civil disobedience? Restaurants and stores saying, I'm opening. You want to come stop it? You come on in here. I've got lawyers that would be willing to fight it for free just for the publicity, if nothing else, plus the principle of the thing. And then out of Ohio, as schools and various institutions and governments, politicians try to decide, what can we do? What can we do to contain this thing and put more orders and restrictions on the people, which may or may not work because, again, there are a lot of restrictions that have been placed on that there's no valid evidence supporting it. I still say it is up to you to make some decisions on your own. Do you protect yourself and your family? And if I'm going into business, they have a sign, you must wear a mask, it's their business, I'll do so. Otherwise, I don't go there. But the Ohio High School Athletic Association did an update on their coronavirus regulations December 1. And we're just now getting this out because I guess they were trying to keep it quiet for a while. The National Federation of State High School Associations kind of weighed in on this. There are certain rules on team travel, temperature testing, and so forth. And then when the wrestlers get on the mat to wrestle, they're touching and all over each other, pulling each other down, got their hands in their face and everything else. And when that match is over, the officials cannot indicate the winner by raising the wrestler's hand, and the wrestlers are not allowed to shake hands after it's over with. You've been crawling all around the mat for 30 minutes, but now suddenly you can't do that. And on top of that, fist bumping among wrestlers, coaches, also prohibited. Does that make any sense to you? Let's get on the floor and wrestle around, then stand up and I won't even shake your hand. I might get something from you. I told you, I can't make this stuff up. We do have a great hour coming up. And yes, we're taking a break. Next hour begins. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.